we're back once again. It's episode 34, Kieran?
34, Kieran.
Yes, and I guess we had got out of the habit of apologising, but I do feel we need to apologise again because, we didn't show up for a few weeks.
No. Sickness.
Sickness. Yes, sickness, travel, moving house, real life work. No excuses, obviously, but...
Obviously, but all of the above.
All of the above do apply, but yes, we apologise profusely. But yes, we're back for December.
We are.
Everyone needs a break, don't they?
Festive cheer. Got my Christmas tree next to me.
Well, you were telling me that. So it's erect in the front room?
It is, yes.
And why so soon?
Well, you know, American culture in our family.
Yes.
So we have to, first weekend after Thanksgiving, out we go.
So the Americans invented Christmas, is that
right? That's pretty much it, yeah.
Has the
I think Coca-Cola invented Christmas.
Well, I was just about to ask whether the Coca-Cola van, not really a van, what is it?
It's a lorry.
A truck for American
people.
It'd
be friends. A truck for a American truck. People, yes.
What do they call them?
Trucks.
Tractor-trailer truck thing. Long red Mac something or other. With Father Christmas on the side.
Yeah, has it, holidays are coming.
Has it descended the big hill in Wales yet or no?
Not yet, no.
Hmm.
There's not young children running through the woods next to it as we speak.
Yes. I can't think of much better presents, really, than a sort of six-pack of full-fat Coke, can you?
Yeah, Christmas? Lovely. Yeah.
Have you tried that new...
Diabetes for Christmas.
Have you tried that new green Coke?
No.
No. Life, I think it's called.
Have you tried it?
No.
No.
No, no.
You're a Coke Zero man, aren't you?
I am, yes. Many years ago when Coke Zero launched, Wayne Rooney, if you're not familiar with him, we share a birthday just for reference, but also famous English football/soccer player. He was the...
he's just a football player.
The brand ambassador for Coke Zero, and that sold me at the time. And I've never
really?
Looked back, never looked back.
Nice.
Even places like Pizza Express stock it now.
I didn't know you were so susceptible to such things.
I love a good marketing campaign.
Nice.
It did help as well that the only competition I ever entered in life, it's probably not true, it's probably about two others, on a whim, I won a Coke Zero branded iPod.
Did you ever do the Pepsi Challenge?
No, I never did the Pepsi Challenge, but know that the ex-Apple CEO, John Sculley, who used to work at Pepsi, famously recruited by Mr. Jobs, allegedly saying something along the lines of, do you want to sell sugared water for the rest of your life or change the world? He chose to change the world. He famously failed his own Pepsi challenge.
Really?
Yeah, Wikipedia that one, folks, and tell me that I'm wrong, which I probably am, but anyways, moving along. Yes, Christmas. Blimey, can't believe it. Which does mean, actually, that our annual, well, I suppose it could be annual, because we're doing it again this year, BAFTAs will be back in a couple of episodes.
Yep.
That's the back-to-front.
The award show.
The back-to-front award show. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I'm still trying to convince myself it's a good pun, but
it's not. But yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be back. Man of the Year, Woman of the Year, App of the Year, Dog of the Year, Dog Related Tech of the Year.
Yeah, Dog Related Tech of the Year.
I think
it's been tricky this year, actually.
It is. We've I think things have come on and you know, there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, dog social sort of networks serious. Have been acquired and all sorts.
Yeah. Some serious dog trajectory.
You wouldn't want to say that after a few cold drinks, would you? but anyway, yes, once again, I'd like to thank our friends at ATEC Media for supporting this episode of the Back to Front Show.
Yes, thank you.
We've talked before about some of their products, such as Deploy and Codebase and Supportly, which is their help desk platform.
Mm-hmm.
Deployment seems to be in the news quite a lot recently, and I noticed that Deploy was name-checked in the 24 Ways article on deployment.
Sure. Yep.
Definitely check out ATEC Media. You can find all their apps listed on their homepage. They've got a bunch of others actually. They do VoIP. I always feel a bit silly saying VoIP, voice over IP.
Yep.
They've got sort of a mail delivery client, sort of for transactional emails and that kind of thing called Deliver. But yeah, doing some great stuff. We'll put all the links to their apps in the show notes as always. But just like to. Thank Adam and the team down there.
Thank you, Adam.
Once again, for supporting us. So, yes. What have we got this week, Kieran?
We've got lots. We've got links, as always.
We've got linkage. Oh, did you see we've got a new logo?
I did, yes. Well, you sent it to me and said we've got a new logo.
That's how much sort of interest you show in the show.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So some excuse about work, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, work, dogs, Christmas.
Having a real job.
A real job, TM, yes. but yeah, Sean Johnson, he of the Freelance Web, friend of the show, friend of me. Have you met Sean?
No.
You've not met Sean?
No.
If you had...
Maybe on the Twitters.
If you had, and when you do, I'm sure he'll be your friend too. He's a friendly chap. Based out there in the flatlands of Eastern England somewhere.
Right.
Well, yeah. Peterborough, I think. I probably got that wrong. But anyways, yeah, he we got chatting a while ago and he sort of offered to work with us on a new brand, as it were. So we've got a couple of logos. One is the radio, kind of old school style. And then we've got another kind of badge that if you look at the Back to Front Show on iTunes, you will see. But I'm thinking of getting some stickers made. What do you think?
I very much like them both. I particularly like the radio.
Yeah, the radio is very cool, isn't it? I'm seeing that as a sort of enamel badge. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be good. Do that.
Yeah. T-shirts, hats, beanies, totes.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone who's anyone wearing one.
Yeah, that could be a challenge, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we'll think about that.
Find people wearing enamel badges with Back to Front Show, take their photograph and send them in.
And win another enamel badge.
Win your own enamel badge.
There you go, I like it. We've done it. Yeah. We're very good at competitions, we know this.
Yeah, we are. They're probably illegal. There's all sorts of European laws around competitions, but
and European, moving on. European laws will be the hot topic of conversation on the next episode. But anyway.
Apparently so.
So, shall I go first? Yes.
You always do.
Well, I do because I do the show notes and I put That's my name true. First.
Yeah.
I before E. No.
Typical.
E before
no.
I. Anyways, whatever.
E, anyway.
So, Nomad Community. This got me...
hot under the collar.
Hot under the collar, yes. This is a community for the digital nomads. Now, we talked about our friend... well, he's not really our friend. I guess if we met him, he probably would be. Mr. Yong Fook a while ago, who has been travelling around... Southeast Asia, running a web business, effectively.
I'll tell you who qualifies, who is our friend.
Who's that?
Greg_A.
Greg_A, yeah.
He's a digital nomad.
Still not forgiven him for the underscore. It's very, very difficult to find on an iPhone. It's at least two taps away from...
it's frustrating.
Yes, very much so.
But he has become known as underscore.
Yeah,
so.
the underscore.
Mm-hmm.
Greg_A, or just underscore.
Yeah, just underscore.
Yeah, he is a digital nomad, but
he is.
There's a community for them now, where you.
It's
can,
a community of everything.
Well, of course, but this one really sort of piqued my interest because I think it's one of those things that I would love to try, but in reality, probably never will.
Okay.
As
you're not a nomad.
As I'm not a nomad, and I've just bought a house and have two children.
Yeah.
I suppose they could be nomads, but then no, that's really not.
Well, you know, back in the day.
Back in the day, I could have put them in a little sling, a front-loading baby holster, and off I go. But anyways.
Yeah. MacBook Air, front-loading baby holster, flat white.
But yeah.
Done. Nomadic.
Yeah, I like it. But this, I thought this was quite interesting. Just a way of sort of finding places to work if you're travelling around, sort of fast Wi-Fi, good coffee, things like that. They've even got a Slack channel. Are you on Slack?
I am on Slack, though nobody uses it. In my circle, but I know that it is the new hotness.
It is the new hotness, and yes, we're on Slack too now in Shopify world.
Are you?
Oh yes, out with the old, in with the new. Slack is it's there. I'm not quite convinced of the tone of purple that they use, though. What do you think?
Indifferent.
Yeah, I thought you would be. But anyway, back to hash nomads. Just thought it was an interesting site to. Those people who are traveling around, I mean, you don't have to be a pure digital nomad, but if you are traveling for work, they've got a good list of sort of meetups you can go to, cafes you can work out of, that kind of thing. And it kind of struck me that this goes back to one of the domains that I have yet to use, which is that idea of sort of listing cool places to co-work or places with good coffee and Wi-Fi, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a really nice site, actually. They've got sort of a
trend. Interesting idea, isn't it? I mean, in terms of, you know, having some sort of consistent people that you keep in touch with while you're doing this kind of thing. Because I imagine, you know, obviously we've talked about before that the nomadic lifestyle does appeal to people. And particularly, I was talking to my friend John recently because he moved house and had to spend 2 weeks between houses and had one suitcase and realised that all the, what should we say? detritus of his life in storage he didn't actually need.
Yes, I know.
And he realised he could probably just move into his new house with just the one bag that he had, and everything in storage would be surplus to requirements.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's very appealing, but equally people do want some contact with human beings that they know, so it's quite a nice sort of...
Yeah, and I think they've done a really good job here of sort of highlighting cities with a kind of a rating as well. So you can go and you can see what the weather's like and temperatures and what the general kind of speed of the internet is and that kind of stuff. Air quality, how long the flight is from where you are and all that kind of stuff. So, and some average costs of hostels and hotels and meals and co-working spaces, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. if you are thinking of decamping for a while, then it's certainly a good place to look at. Nomadlist.io. Yeah. I wonder if the Internet Overlord has approved this one.
I'm pretty sure he will have done, yeah. given the list of famous names involved with this project.
Yeah, I'm sure the Internet Overlord, you know who you are.
Yes.
Is creaming off a profit somewhere along the way.
But, somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, and just also going back to a previous show as well, and sadly they're not in monochrome, but there is a vast array of icons for famous sort of media brands at the bottom. So it's a startup validation there.
Yeah, it's sad that they're not a monochrome, and then when you mouse over them, they turn it to colour. That's the standard. I think they need to address that.
I think there's something gone awry there. But anyway, moving on. It's a really good site, actually. Definitely check it out if
interesting.
You're travelling for work or just becoming a nomad. Digital or otherwise.
I wonder if we're going to see a big shift towards nomadic digital peoples.
Well, I was surprised by the number that when you sort of see these sites, they normally put a dazzling number on the homepage, don't they, of the number of members. And this one's just over 1,000. So I think it's growing. But I was surprised that wasn't more. I thought it would be more of a phenomenon.
Yeah, I suppose it does require you to have literally no ties. Like, you know, you couldn't have children or have a pet or have anything, you know, or have a home or any of these. I suppose you could rent your home out, couldn't you? And
yeah, I think that's what a lot of people do, don't they? They sort of decide to, go off for a year and never return sometimes, travelling for years. But, as I say, definitely check that one out, nomadlist.io. So what about you? What have you got?
This is the news. Well, it's not new. Actually, within the industry, this is pretty old news that BitTorrent do this. But I thought it was interesting because they've come out with bundles. And so it reminded me of what they were doing. And I thought that maybe not a lot of people would know that they're doing this. And basically, BitTorrent, who are sort of known as the source of all evil in the film and internet world and music and all that stuff, you know, media and film and internet, because they, you know, quote unquote, encourage piracy or have enabled efficient piracy, are actually doing quite a lot to try and shake that image, and have been providing sort of artist services type pieces of technology, so things like where you can sell BitTorrent bundles, which is quite an interesting idea, because obviously the delivery network is essentially there for any large media file, it just enables you to make money from torrenting, essentially.
So here's my ignorance on the torrenting. Having I'll admit now on record, I've never torrented ever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that unusual? I don't know.
But it's generational, apparently.
Yes,
I'm reading
it must
an article.
Be. Yes, I'm not a millennial or a 97er. I'm definitely none of those. But I only recently turned on Siri. So, anyways, it's amazing. Do you know what it can do? It can do all sorts. It's very, very clever.
It talks to you, I've heard.
Yeah, and you can pick the voice and everything.
Wow.
Do you go for a male voice, female voice? What do you have?
I never use it.
Have you turned it on, though?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay, good. Is BitTorrent, is it a company? Is it open source? What exactly is it? When you say, who came up with the technology? What's the background?
I've forgotten his name, who came up with the technology, actually. What's his name? Hang on a second.
Wasn't the Linux guy, was it? Was it him? No.
No, it wasn't.
But anyway,
I follow him on Twitter.
You do?
Bram Cohen.
Oh, that's a good name, isn't it? That's a sort of Hollywood name.
Yeah, and he works a BitTorrent now. So BitTorrent are a company.
Okay.
And they do have a very legitimate business moving large files around for companies.
Wow, okay.
So I'm not sure whether the code base itself is open source. I presume it is because, you know, it's being used by all sorts of people.
Mm.
But yeah, he's a very smart guy. I've seen him interviewed a couple of times. And essentially BitTorrent are trying to push this idea that you can actually sell stuff with BitTorrent. I just thought it was really interesting because, you know, it's a complete sort of U-turn from the public face of BitTorrent. And I imagine you know, BitTorrent's sort of the thing that you see, you know, splashed all over the 10 o'clock news about, you know, yet another evil thing that's happened.
Yeah, do you think it's a case of where the actual underlying technology, because it's got almost like it's got a brand attached to it, becomes the evil thing, and actually it's nothing to do with the actual tech, it's more to do with the implementation of the tech in certain scenarios? Or
yeah. I think that's the thing. I don't necessarily... I have no idea whether Bram Cohen, invented this for piracy reasons. I imagine he was just trying to find a more efficient way to move large files around the web. And I think that it's sort of it's like the term hacker, isn't it? You know, a lot of web people will get very uptight about the fact that people use the term hacker incorrectly in news articles. So, you know, someone who's broken into a company, for example, which we'll be coming to shortly, get described as hackers, whereas officially they're crackers, they've broken into something. And hackers are just people who do, you know, interesting stuff with technology and use technology to solve problems. So, you know, I think it's a similar situation where BitTorrent's just become a sort of synonym for evil.
Yeah, true. And so how will they pay for this? Where's the sort of payment layer? How does this work?
Well, when I've done this once before, actually, not this particular bundles thing they've just released, but when it just took me to a BitTorrent site and released the torrent file to me based on my what's the word?
Some kind of GUID or IP or what?
Yeah, well, no. So it drops. It gave me the BitTorrent file, and then I had to put in a key that it mailed to me, I believe.
Oh, okay.
How it did it, but basically, it was for an album. So they weren't charging anything at that point. They were just asking for email addresses in return for an album, and they were collecting, you know, email addresses, and that was just a means by which to do it. And they were using BitTorrent as a free network, and then obviously you get to seed that album in return, so it's sort of like paying them back for giving you the free album.
That's very clever, actually. Very clever. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll... Do you think we'll start seeing this kind of technology used more and more for distribution instead of sort of direct downloads? And that
well, I think
stuff?
It is being used in the background. You know,
right, okay.
You know, the funny thing is that Hollywood do use BitTorrent to move stuff around within closed networks. So, I think that it is being used. It's just that the public's image of BitTorrent is something that's a problem for them right now. And they've obviously seen this move towards sort of artist services type companies. And they've thought, you know, this is an opportunity for us to offer a similar payment gateway plus a torrent file and to say, you know, leverage BitTorrent's popularity to actually make a sale.
Yeah, interesting.
Be interested to see how it pans out. But, you know, the interesting, they're offering 90% of the sale to the creator.
How does that marry up with other platforms?
Well, it's not that good compared to, say, Gumroad, who are 5% and 25 cents, which is absolutely ludicrously cheap. But, you know, I think I've said to you, before that it's kind of a race to the bottom in terms of percentages right now.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, how can we, you know, sooner or later, I think one of these platforms is going to say 100% to the creator.
So,
make our money in a different way.
That'll be interesting. That will be interesting. But, one to watch.
One to watch. And I just thought it was a sort of a big name entering the fray, but a big name that obviously had a lot of ground to catch up on. Because they're, you know, pretty much considered to be evil by the vast majority of people.
Evil. So many evil people on the internet these days. It's quite, yeah. It's kind of scary.
It's scary, isn't it?
But talking of big names entering the industry, in a sense, is my next link. Kind of,
yes,
works quite well as a link, I think.
Yes.
I don't know if you are you aware of Yandex?
No.
I think they're a kind of a Russian search engine.
Okay.
And they've entered the browser fray with the Yandex browser.
Oh, good, another browser.
Yeah, this is what I thought was quite interesting. I think, yeah, so looking at the Yandex homepage, which is Yandex, Yandex.com, I think, actually, stand corrected, I think a lot of the technology for, is it Nginx came out of something to do with one of the Russian, I can't remember, but anyways.
Nginx is of Russian origin. I don't know whether it was
actually. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's... came out of the sort of the team behind this, but anyway, so it's kind of, it was a search engine basically, so kind of like the Russian Google in a sense. So they do things like video, mail, image search, you know, translation and so forth, but they now gone into the browser market. So yeah, Yandex browser, and I guess it really does well, it's changed a few things from sort of the normal browsing experience. I thought, you know, give it a try. And you can get it for all platforms, for Mac, PC, devices, that kind of stuff. But it does some interesting things with the user interface. It literally, there are no menus. You have literally the full kind of, there's no Chrome, there's no nothing. So literally you scroll up and things just appear, like the search box. It gives you recently visited sites as sort of tiles, a bit like the recent Microsoft Windows kind of approach. It's really quick. It obviously runs on, I'm guessing, the same rendering engine as Chrome, as all the extensions work as well. So it kind of mapped those across. But it's got some other interesting things in there that you can turn on and off. Things like I think they call it turbo mode, where it will obviously do some stuff with sort of browser caching very aggressively and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I just wanted to chat about it really, because I wasn't really sure why anyone these days would go into the browser market, where's the real innovation there?
It's interesting. It actually really frustrates me to hear this. You know, I know that's probably not your intention.
Entirely my intention.
Just make me rant about browsers. But I just find this extremely annoying, in a sense that we're just fracturing things again and again and again, and that we never seem, and in one sense, the web is born out, and the wonderful stuff on the web is born out of this tendency to be like, I can do this better. In the same way as there's a framework for every flavor, you know, there's every flavor framework you could possibly want.
Most days there's a new one.
Yeah, most days there's a new one. Yeah, like in CMSs, etc. You know, there's the joke that, you know, every developer must build their own framework, their own CMS in their lifetime. Right. And it seems to be the case that, you know, you can talk to a developer and they'll go, "Oh yeah, I tried to do that when I was 20."
Yes, I think we've all been
we've
there.
We've all found ourselves in that position. But yeah, first of all, it's going to be an extremely hard sell for them to get this into the market.
Well, you say that, but I mean, don't know their market, I guess. Maybe they've got massive, obviously they're the biggest search engine in sort of, you know, Russia, so there's a few.
Yeah,
a few,
and possibly
users.
they have huge reach in that respect, maybe, but I still think I've always maintained, and I've had this chat with Neil, our friend at Mixture, that you know, it's very hard to get someone to install something on their computer.
True.
I think that people test out things like, you know, web apps and this kind of stuff, and check out social networks and all these kind of things far more happily than they do download something and install it on their computer. There's a time element to it, but I think there's also a sort of, you know, this is something that could damage my ability to do my job type feeling to it. So, you know, I think it might be an uphill struggle, but it's also frustrating to see this. I haven't tried it, and I will download it and try it, just for the sake of it. And it's interesting that they've gone, you know, smartphone, tablet, and PC straight off the
definitely
off the bat.
They've also got some innovations in there with the so they've got something called push to call. So it will auto dial things for you from a website.
Right.
We've got, as I said, turbo mode. I'm just looking at the notes here, which is, can react to slow internet connections and, kind of, you know, does some fancy stuff, I guess, there. Just also remembering that I think I was totally confused with the Nginx. I think it was BEM that came out of the sort of the BEM syntax came out of Yandex, if memory serves. But yeah, they've you know, video compression in turbo mode so that you can optimize for sort of slower networks and things like that.
I'm interested to see what video formats they support as well, because this seems to be a major problem at the moment. In the, you know, no one browser seems to support, well, I think WebM is supported across the
right, yeah,
entire range, but you know, there's this current battle going on with Firefox where H.264 is supported by Firefox on the PC but not Firefox on the Mac.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and there's they're saying, oh, they said it would come in version 34 of Firefox, and version 34 came out yesterday, I think, and nothing. And now they're saying it'll come in version 35 of Firefox for the Mac. And I'm just like, you know, I know that there are some sort of religious issues here in that, you know, it's a proprietary format, but it is also the most common format for video encoding.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, it's that classic, you know, we are the open web, and
I think it's kind of tricky. Crazy that they're at version 35. I mean, do you remember when versions used to take years to come out, and now it's you sort of sneeze and there's a new version of Firefox out. Do you use Firefox at all, or
for testing? I mean, it's the new IE.
What's your yes. What's your browser of choice then? Chrome or?
Chrome, yeah.
What made you go to Chrome from, what would you use before, Firefox or?
Safari? I used to do Safari, yeah. As far as slow, basically. It seems to have sped up a little bit with Yosemite.
Have you upgraded now?
Yes, I have, yes.
Any problems?
No. Pretty fast, pretty happy.
Your old MacBook Air holding up?
Holding up fine, yeah. Apart from the fact that its battery's destroyed.
Yeah. Well, it's probably overuse.
Yes, I'd say so.
But yes, download and have a play with the Yandex browser. You can find that
at
browser.yandex.com. And
it's enormous. It's 75 meg.
Yeah, there's a lot of browser in there. A lot of stuff in
there. Gosh. Right, anyway.
If anyone didn't know that you do work at the intersection of film and technology, we now have something relating to our friends at Sony.
Yeah, this is the news that Sony got owned, as the kids say.
What does that mean?
They got hacked.
Hacked or cracked?
Cracked.
Okay, just to be sure.
But obviously every website in the world says hacked, so we might as well just continue with the vernacular. Yes, this is the news that Sony have been absolutely wiped out by a hacking group calling themselves GOP, which apparently stands for Guardians of Peace.
Right. Okay.
Uh-huh. Have you heard anything about this at all?
No, I haven't, but I'm a bit alarmed that... do you think that's a typo on the author's name?
No, I think it's on purpose, isn't it?
Oh, it's not Kevin... It's like not a pseudonym for Kevin Rose, then? Kevin Rose?
No, it's not. Okay. No, I don't think so.
Close, but no cigar.
Close, but no cigar, yeah. So it's been really interesting, and there's I'll link to two articles for this. There's a Fusion.net article, but also a really far more fleshed out article on Wired magazine.
Oh, okay.
And they've actually gone for the sort of more journalistic, you know, less controversial approach and gone through what was stolen, what do we know, what do we actually know what's happened, or was data just destroyed, or was data actually taken, all this kind of thing. And basically the FBI are actually involved in this case now. The feds are involved because there is apparently a claim in the media that this is related to North Korea.
Ah.
I don't know if you know, but there's a very misguided film out at the moment, or due to be released very soon, I think, for Christmas, entitled The Interview, I believe, which is about Seth Rogen and James Franco going to interview the dictator of North Korea.
Cheese-loving dictator of North Korea?
Yes.
Okay.
But not just interview him, to kill him.
Right. That's
so. They get the idea is they get an interview. Is it Kim Jong Un? Is that how you say his name?
I believe so.
Yeah. So they get an interview with him, and the unlikely story that the feds approach them to kill him while they're there.
You can see the script meeting for this one, can't you?
Yeah, you can. So this has been made, and obviously the North Koreans have said this is an act of war and that there will be retaliation for this. And Sony are the studio behind, or they're releasing the interview, and therefore people are thinking this is the retaliation. So the FBI are involved, and but the I think interesting thing for me was that the sort of scale of this attack. So they got in by using sort of standard phishing techniques.
Oh dear.
So they sent emails to staff members who clicked on things, which installed stuff on the network, which gave them access to the network. And the attack has been so widespread that they've actually been able to steal finished feature films that haven't been released.
Just finished ones?
Yeah, so films that are finished but are...
Oh, sorry, finished. Sorry.
Not finished, no. That are complete but have yet to be released, including Annie, the musical.
They've not.
They have stolen Annie. They've stolen Still Alice, which I've not heard of, and Mr. Turner, which is Mike Lee's film, with Timothy Spall in it, which is about the painter. And it's... And obviously, this has caused a lot of. First of all, this has been released on. They've all been released on BitTorrent. Imagine the insurance claim.
Huge.
You know. Yeah. Exactly. And apparently, they were saying that there's actually about a lot of malware installed on all the desktop computers in Sony. So they're basically, according to staff, they shut down the entire network, and staff had to work from their own computers and work from their own email accounts, and people were signing up Gmail accounts especially for the period while it was off, which was about 2 days or more.
Wow.
And then all the staff had to queue and get issued with a new account on a new system.
Pretty successful crack then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and there's a quote from one member of staff which I can't find here, but you know, sort of briefly, it was something like, "Yes, it was pretty much business as usual if it was 2002."
It's funny you should talk about old technology. I was driving my daughter to school today, and on the back of a truck was telephone number, and on the opposite side it said fax. So I was having to try and explain to a 7-year-old what a fax was, and it just was it was not computing at all.
No.
It's like, well, it's short for facsimile.
So you put a piece of paper in one end and it comes out
the other. Yeah, and it goes down a phone line and it comes out the other, but it's not the original.
No.
And,
I suppose, does Evie understand what a scanner is?
No.
I guess. No, that's difficult, isn't it? There's not much. I guess a photograph is the closest. It takes a photograph of it and it puts it down the phone line and it comes out the other end.
Yeah, but...
that's the closest thing you could...
I guess it does show, though. I mean, within the space of sort of a decade, how far a company... I mean, every company... now relies on.
Yeah.
It does frustrate me though, and I think someone mentioned this on the Twitter recently, that whenever you want to cancel anything, you still have to talk to a human being who's trained in the art of enticing you back. So recently,
yes, that was Mr. Wiggins, who was in a very bad mood that day. I have to say,
was he?
Yes, he. We were having email correspondence at the time, and he was raging about all of the things.
All of the things, all of the time.
Uh-huh.
Angry man.
Yeah, he was angry.
Yes, of course, because you're speaking at the Geek Night, aren't you?
I am, MK.
Yes, I hope it's going to be live streamed, because sadly I can't make it.
No.
Which is much of my annoyance. But yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of these big companies are cracked and hacked, but this one obviously has been made very, very public. So how did Sony react?
Well, I think publicly Sony have just said, yes, this has happened. Yes, we are cooperating with the FBI, and not said much more. It's, you know, staff within Sony that have said stuff. Obviously, a lot of those people are quite public figures anyway. And so it's quite easy for press in Hollywood to approach them and to ask about what's happened. I haven't seen anything from Franco or Seth Rogen, is probably for the best.
It's got one of those kind of headline sort of gossip sites, you know, career ending moments, you know, celebrities who chose the wrong film at the wrong time.
Though, actually... maybe not.
Oh, really?
Because the other angle here is there's a lot of Sony staff are apparently, because there's whispers in the corridor, is this a stunt?
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it?
So, you know, the fact that you're about to release a film about North Korea, then you can say North Korea hacked Sony and stole all these films, is generates a lot of press. So, you know, the cynical part of me thinks that maybe there is an element of truth in that, and I wouldn't put it past a big Hollywood studio to do that. But, you know, the fact that the FBI are involved is pretty serious, isn't it?
Getting the Rozzas involved, yes, it's never going to end well. Never going to end well. So, yeah, so two articles.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting article. And there's the Wired magazine article especially has quite a lot of technical bump in there for people who are interested in, you know, the specific things were stolen, including key card algorithms and all that stuff to get into the studios. So it's interesting stuff.
I've driven past there. I recognise the
rainbow.
In Culver City, yeah. My friend used to live there. But... There's a picture there, isn't there, of the two, of James Franco and Seth Rogen. He does look, I don't know. I don't think he'll ever top the Green Hornet. But there you go.
Or Knocked Up.
I was so upset about the Green Hornet. I used to love that 60s version with Bruce Lee. And I thought they were going to do, you know, a real quality take on it. And it was just... mildly amusing.
Comedy nonsense.
But anyways, yeah, that's it's a beefy article, isn't it, on Wired? But
they've really gone to town, and they've obviously had some insiders there, because, you know, it's pretty.
There is
a lot of information. Yeah,
saying things like all of the files examined appear to have been compiled on a machine that was using the Korean language. There you go. Mm-hmm. But so we'll link both of those up in the show notes.
Among more than 11,000 newly released files, 100, because this has all been released on the web, apparently. 11,000 newly released files are hundreds of employee usernames and passwords, as well as RSA, secure ID tokens and certificates belonging to Sony.
Brilliant. And we should probably blame BitTorrent for distributing all this, yeah?
Yes, we should. They probably will.
Yeah, it's always the tech's fault. Never the people. Yeah. Anyway, so that was episode 34. We're back in the saddle for Choice Links. Yours have more of a cohesive theme than mine this week, but that's pretty normal, to be fair.
It is pretty normal. I'm always off topic.
Well, no, as I said, working at the intersection of dog technology and film. No.
No, that's pretty much accurate.
Yeah, probably. But
that's how I introduce myself.
Is that on your calling card, your little business card?
It is, yeah.
Do you have a business card?
No, of course not.
I noticed Moo are now doing letterpress cards, and they're almost a pound a go.
Bloody hell.
Do you think it would be more memorable to give someone a pound or to give them a business card?
A pound with a smiley face.
Yeah, just so they could get a very, very cheap little sticker that you could put on a pound and give it to someone. Do you think that would be more memorable than giving them a business card?
Yeah, I think it would, actually. Yeah. Here's a quid.
Quid.
Just peel the sticker off.
Why is it a quid? That's one of those ones that whenever anyone visits from... North America, they never quite understand, and it never sounds. It's probably like us saying a buck. Never sounds right when an American.
It is like a buck.
It's like, here's a quid, and it doesn't. Yeah, I was like, what? What? What's a quid? I don't know. Had to look at the derivation.
British slang for £1 currency. It doesn't say.
Yeah, I had to look at the derivation of mufti, as in Mufti Day today.
Did you?
Do you know about that?
No.
Do you know what it is? Mufti Day.
No, yeah. I know what it is.
Where you can wear your own clothes to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, something to do with late 19th century off-duty British army officers wearing some kind of robe. Or when off-duty in some faraway land, it was known as a mufti.
It says that quid is of obscure origin here.
Yeah, very obscure.
So basically no one knows.
But anyway, we'll leave that one floating in the air. If anyone would like to let us know the meaning of quid. Mm-hmm. We could offer them a enameled logo badge, but we don't have any yet. We will.
No, we will.
We're going out with the little collection tins and go knock on doors and persuade people to sign up for £1 a month or something.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in some gas and electric or something. I don't know, whatever. But we'll be back in episode 35. As always, thank you for listening. And nice to be back, Kieran.
Yeah, indeed.
All right. Speak soon. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.